Gotcha. Yeah, get that out so we're not. There you go.
That's fun. There, I hear that sound.
Yeah.
Scooting out. And like occasionally when I'm editing, and I know exactly what it's pretty fun.
You good?
I'm good.
Did we switch chairs? How did we do that?
Yeah, let's we'll give you that chair sometime.
Oh, I don't mind. I'm happy to take it. Hey, we're going. That's cool too.
We need to get another comfy chair. That's what we need to do.
Man, we have a list.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we need our listeners to start paying up for all this good content we're putting out.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh quite so loud, but I do.
That's right. They're not listening. Oh, wait. We're recording.
There you go. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Yeah. So how were your holidays, Justin?
They were good.
Yeah?
They were good, yeah. I would say they were restful.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
How about you?
It was good. It was good. It was, it seemed longer than normal.
Okay.
By the time.
In a good way?
Yeah, it was good. And we, like you say, we went up and got Lizzie, you know, as she wrapped up her semester. And then, you know, both families. And then we had a neat time at the Bible Museum. That was,
cool.
That was a cool part of our trip that we just said, you know, okay, let's take a little family time, you know, for our family Christmas type stuff. And we did that in D.C.
And that's when you drove back from...
That was on the trip home. Yeah, to where we were back. We left on the 16th and we're back on the 23rd, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So that was good. Actually, 22nd, maybe that Thursday. Either way, but that we don't typically, you know, run that long. Kind of, you know, family dynamics are what family dynamics are. You know, we just kind of have recognized the need to have some... You know, time as family, but
yeah,
not necessarily make it any longer than works for everyone, I think is a way to.
True, yeah.
You know,
it's good.
Yeah, so it was good. And then just to have the four of us here, you know, in town over Christmas and through the week. And yeah, and then Lizzie's rolling back today. So it went quick.
Yeah.
The front part seemed long, but when we got back here, it seemed to go by rather quickly.
Do you usually kind of split the break into two chunks like that?
Split the
traveling break. And then here?
Yeah, we'll routinely, more so lately, like you say, we'll routinely catch both families, either one side or the other of Christmas. Like we try to typically, you know, work a weekend or something, you know, to where it's not so difficult for people to get off and spend time with us. Because that's always the tricky part. You know, and I've been on both sides of it. You know, it's like when family, if you're kind of the resident and family comes into town, it almost seems, it can seem like, you know, well, we got to jump through the hoops because so on and so forth are here. Mm. And they're only here, so we have to get together with them while they're here.
Mm-hmm.
So it can seem like an obligation for those who are local. You know, for when the visitors come in and at the same time, now we're on that visitor end and it's like, you know, people are saying, you know, well, we can't necessarily do that. I don't want to have to take a day off work, you know, to catch up with you guys on a Monday or, you know, a Thursday or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, we're taking the entire week off, you know, to kind of make sure we have time with family. So it's kind of interesting. It can be that polarizing dynamic again, you know, it's like the ability to see, okay, yeah, when people come into town and they're visiting, they're, you know, kind of putting their life on hold to set this time apart.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the resident people, you know, have a schedule. They have their, you know, their things in place, their things they're doing. So when, you know, people come, it can almost seem like, well, you're asking us to drop everything just to spend time with you. And it's a neat dynamic to be able to experience both sides of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, neither one right or wrong, but it's just an interesting dynamic of family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it can be, yeah. We experienced kind of the opposite where we stayed and my parents came and we were the resident and they were the visitor.
Okay, sure.
And yeah. Kind of the similar situation where, you know, we kind of planned it a little bit later than I guess a trip normally would be planned. So we kind of already had a schedule laid out for the holidays.
Okay.
And they were able to kind of fold into it pretty well. They're flexible in that way, which is cool.
Sure.
But yeah, kind of the same thing. There's a couple days I still had to work and
yeah.
You know, things like that. And so yeah, it is.
And you do what you can, but it's yeah. not like you can completely stop work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that time of year, sometimes with the week after,
yeah.
it's there's a little easier.
Flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you say, I would say our families did a fabulous job, you know, as far as that goes this year, you know, as far as really taking, so we had some really, you know, quality time with both families because people were willing to set that time aside. And I think, you know, the sooner we talk about it, you know, as families, the easier it is to kind of get that schedules. Like mm-hmm. if we can talk about yeah. it, you know, long before December,
yeah.
you know, and then I think,
help.
You know,
yeah. set expectation.
Exactly. And I think as we get older, you know, our children become more adults and they have their own schedules. They have their own houses, you know, so
yeah.
it's more coordinating. You
yeah.
know, what that time's going to look yeah. like with other people's families. And it just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time and it's a worthwhile endeavor. And yet it takes some communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm glad you had a good time with your family.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
You also see how, you know, as all families get older and, you know, the matriarch get older, that mm-hmm. way, and how it becomes a little more dwindled and, you know, like
yeah.
for those same reasons you just described where, well, now the parents, you know, maybe they have, you know, their kids are coming in from college and so they
yep.
can't quite get away or, you know, even the kids start having babies of their own. It's like,
yep.
well, now we're going to kind of hunker down.
Yeah.
You know, and you start reestablishing that core where you are.
Yes.
And no longer going back to the other core and that core starts to dwindle.
Yeah.
You can definitely see those patterns in, you know,
yeah.
all families too. It's kind of,
yeah.
It is interesting.
And I think in some cases, you know, that is a more modern phenomena, you know, as our families have, you know, tended to move not diverse, but, you know, we live in different, geographically speaking, we live further apart than a lot of families used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm thinking about it from that perspective too. You know, it's like we've become when we travel further away for jobs,
nomadic.
Yeah, that's close enough. But yeah,
yeah,
it's to the point of yes, dispersed.
Mm.
You know, our families don't just live all in one geographic area quite so much, and I think that you know that makes it tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean. All of the family that I saw, you know, short of us, was in Pennsylvania. But, you know, my wife's family, you know, Chris's family, you know, they were in Wisconsin and so forth. Yeah, I have a daughter, you know, Chris's niece would have been in Wisconsin. Now they're in Virginia, you know. It's just, you know, as adult children grow, you know, the majority of Chris's family's in New York still, but, you know, they have now her sister's daughter is moving further away. And, it, you know, that adds to that complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an interesting dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a natural dynamic.
Sure.
For the most part.
So more so, I think.
Healthy.
Yeah.
If you, you know, I imagine it would be difficult, again, as probably the patriarch or matriarch of a family to kind of start to see those things dwindle and those traditions not quite align like they used to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, to be healthy, you want that for your kids. You want them to, you know, them to start building their own, you know, units and traditions and and understanding too that now they're in charge of their, you know, now they're becoming the matriarch and matriarch of their particular unit, you know, which is.
And yet that new tradition, if you will, as you referred to it, you know, is different than the traditions that we've kind of grown up with.
Yeah.
And that I can respect that as a, you know,
yeah,
a different dynamic to adjust to.
Yeah. It's modified and morphed and
yeah.
Yeah.
And then of course you add in that, you know, aging dynamic that goes along with that, mm-hmm. you know, as our parents age, you know, it's mm-hmm. part of that. It's like, okay. Cause you know, at times we would meet at my brother's house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we just realized this year in particular, and it was part of our adjustment, you know, it's like, no, mom and dad aren't able to travel anymore like they once did, you know, so we're going to do it there and everybody's going to chip in and, you know, and bring what they can to make it, you know, as easy on my parents as we can, you know, or Chris's mom, that kind of thing, to be able to say, yeah, we're going to come, but we're going to help out. And, you know, so I think that's a good thing to be able to kind of offset that load for our parents that as children, you know, we didn't necessarily think about, you know, offsetting. So it's just kind of neat, you know, to revisit these family dynamics, you know, especially around this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I also realize there's wrestling that goes into it. And, you know, with that changing and the circumstances change, it's a neat opportunity to learn and observe.
What are some of the difficult aspects for you, Mark, in the, you know, kind of that seasonal family get together, you know, type of thing?
Yeah, I think
to what you can actually say on the air.
Yeah, no, I can speak about it all. Kidding. I mean, I think there's all for me, for Chris and I, I'll say, you know, it's always been a desire to create balance, you know, because when we go up, you know, it's a desire to catch up with both families.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I realized this year, you know, And I, even as far as my parents were concerned, the fact that Chris's dad, Ernie, passed away, you know, we recognized this was going to be a different Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was. It was good, you know, in its difference because it was, you know, it was just a neat time to be able to, you know, gather together and share those memories. And it was kind of neat because we accidentally, when we set the table, we accidentally set one extra plate.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of a neat time to reflect, you know, and say, you know, Ernie's still here with us in memory, you know, and yet inadvertently, you know, it was like there was a place set. And so that was kind of neat. But I think, you know, to create, I think making sure that the time is as balanced as it can be under the circumstances, you know, and I think that's just it's not necessarily... It's a priority. It's not necessarily always hard, but it takes effort to make that a priority. And I think,
you know, it can be stressful too.
It can.
Because,
Yep. And I recognize part of that dynamic for us is I have, and on my side of the family, a number of pastors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Sundays are kind of off limits, you know, as far as, you know, being able to get everybody together.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's part of that balancing dynamic. And, you know, that makes it tough because then typically my family, you know, gets that prioritized Friday, Saturday spot. And, you know, Chris's brother is also a pastor, but that kind of puts them in that Sunday, Monday spot, which can be tough for him. But then again, we typically attend church with them while we're up there. Mm. So I think, you know, my parents have, you know, and they were, you know, the first to say, yeah, make sure you're, you know, allowing enough time to, you know, spend time with Linda and because this is going to be different. And, but I think that was and I appreciate, you know, my parents doing so or communicating that because I think, you know, it can be difficult, you know, between, you know, parental families to say, hey, you know, well, we didn't get as much time or, you know, and fortunately we haven't necessarily ran into that, but I think part of it is on our part, we try to make that effort, you know, we were able to, plus it worked this year. We were going up. So that's easy to catch my family in PA, go to New York, and then we got to come back down. So I did actually do some work on my parents' house and, you know, Chris was very gracious there saying, that's a worthwhile investment as far as our time. And so, I was that, but I think that's the work part is striving to keep a balance, And, you know, and recognizing, yeah, sometimes we need a little extra, you know, or circumstances require a little extra, you know, based on, and, you know, just being able to be mindful in that way.
Yeah, and that's, excuse me, even a little challenging for you, not having kind of a codependent nature or people-pleasing, you know, just imagine the difficulty, you know, of that. You know, for people in that camp.
Sure. Right? Like, no, I hear you.
You're managing, you know, trying to keep everybody happy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like your number one goal. And of course, it's not possible to keep everyone happy. Some people aren't going to be happy no matter what you do.
You know?
And we all have family members, right?
Right.
Like that, right? Where they're just going to be cantankerous no matter how you, you know, whatever.
Are you one of the cantankerous ones?
I think probably. I'm going to work at that, being more cantankerous. Make sure I'm going to get that stamp.
I gotcha.
But yeah, no, so I think that, you know, just imagine the difficulties.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think holidays can be start to become a traumatic time.
Yeah. Some,
you know what I mean?
No, and I think that's the interesting part because I run into that a lot, you know, in my work and so forth. And, you know, it is that ability to, you know, be healthily differentiated, you know, that process of being that healthy individual family that says, okay, yeah, I'm thankful for what my family has given me, but yet I have moved away from that and we have created our own family and our own traditions and our own, you know, times to be able to say, yeah, okay, we can include this, but we're also adding this. And if, you know, and that's where I think for Chris and I, you know, it's been our desire to, you know, kind of make, establish that Christmas morning time for our family, you know, and I think that was fundamental early on. And I want to think about it, you know, when John and Lizzie were young, you know, we kind of established that and I'm thankful we did because now people understand. Yeah. Okay. And I think it's, like with my brother or, you know, Chris's, you know, siblings, you know, they understand that because they want their own, you know. Yeah. So then there's that.
It's a natural.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that brings up, you know, another family dynamic that can be difficult to adjust to, you know, in at this time of year.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's different too, and I think it's a different perspective on it. You know, when we go back, we see things, like I see how my parents have aged, you know, in some ways where, you know, my brother who's there routinely, I'm sure he sees it, but it's a gradual, it's more gradual for him than it is for me, you know, considering it's probably been, you know, maybe 6 months. You know, since I've actually seen my parents. So, you know, some of it is that a little bit of shock, you know, that, oh, wow, you know, there's a reality to our lives being finite and, you know, in this aging process. So that's, you know, something that's you know, new to deal with, let alone, you know, thinking about it from, you know, Linda's perspective as far as, you know, how her circumstances have changed, you know. You know, being without her husband, you know, holidays and the whole house to take care of and those kind of things. So those are the things that we see. And I think it adds to the perspective that, you know, is different than like from Chris's siblings who are right in that area. So, yeah, it's just a neat time.
Yeah. And you use the term differentiated, which we've, you know, you've used before.
Probably.
It's kind of just another way to talk about, you know, about having boundaries, right? Having proper boundaries around what you consider to be your yourself and your family unit and the, you know, the broader family.
Sure.
Set.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Differentiated is when I grow up in a family system, I adopt or I am typically assigned or given roles. You know, like you shared about the people pleaser. Kind of that dynamic. Okay. That's a role. And there's different roles. There's, you know, depending on what system, you know, what theory you're operating on. You know, there can be in old school, there was, you know, the black sheep, you know, or the hero complex, you know, those kind of things. So those roles are assigned within our family system. A differentiated individual is able to grow up in that system, move away from it, and therefore, if they're differentiated, they can go back into that system and not take on those old family roles.
But that's hard.
Yes. That's hard. That's why there's a word for it.
Because it's like, you start driving back home and you just naturally, your car finds those old ruts.
Yes. Right?
And now you're in those old ruts and it's almost a little bit comfortable and you find yourself like, oh, I'm stuck.
Because, yes.
You know, I'm using that as a metaphor. I mean, it's very true, though. Like, I often find myself going back, you know, when I go back to family I haven't been around or whatever.
Yeah.
You kind of fall into those old patterns with everybody where they start doing that.
Exactly.
So you start doing this and because you're doing this there. And you just have this,
yes.
These ruts you fall into and you stay stuck. So,
and that's why there's a word to describe when you don't do that any longer.
Yeah.
Because it is so much of our, you know, our makeup that, okay, they just did that. Well, then, and I think, you know, I think there's levels of differentiated.
Sure.
You know, I think there's angry differentiation where I'm just going to go in and I'm going to, you know, blow things up. You know, and I would argue that's not necessarily differentiated, you know, in a healthy sense. But yet, it's that same desire. It's like, I don't want to do it the way I've always done it.
Right.
And yet, how do I do it differently?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely a wrestling that, you know, can occur. And I think it's something that, you know, from speaking personally, you know, I see it now in our family, you know, even with our adult children. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Lizzie's gone away to college. Jonathan's gone away to the Air Force. You know, they both had their times away and now they're coming back sometimes. Yeah. And when they come back, they're different people.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of that. You know, they don't accept their roles well,
right,
especially when the other sibling is trying to put them in that role. You know, it's just... you've experienced that with Frisbee even, you know, just... Yeah. It's kind of that.
You mean with the...
Between John and Lizzie, you know. Them
buck their roles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
But that's... And then, you know, so when I see that, it's like, yeah, I can recognize how my brother and I, you know, we've shifted, you know, as we've become our own families and, you know. Yeah, it's
If you're doing life right, you're growing and you're changing and you're, you know, doing all these, you know, all these things we talk about in the podcast. If you're working at all those things, like you're moving, you know?
Yeah.
And so the role you played in the person you were growing up, it shouldn't match, you know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't
match
that same role. And I think, you know, even for me, when I would go back to my family and my sister and all that, and we'd kind of all get together for a long time, it was just, again, those ruts. I would just slide back into those ruts. And the more I've changed, the more doing that became unacceptable to my spouse.
Sure.
Who now knows who I can be.
Yes.
Right? And knows what I'm capable of and am on a fairly regular basis, and to see me kind of slide into old habits or old behaviors that aren't healthy for her, you know, like that don't honor her the way they should, or, you know, just whatever, you know, it's not acceptable. Like,
no,
you know, and that's been kind of the journey the last, I don't know, whatever, let's say 12 years,
sure,
whatever, to become differentiated, to understand that when I slide back into those situations, I don't slide back into those ruts, right?
Like,
and
I think, you know, it's difficult on, you know, our relationships with our spouses when we go back and we slip into that role, because it, you know, it reprioritizes to a certain degree. You know, it can seem to me, if Chris falls into her role within her family, it's like, hang on here. You know, the priorities have just shifted. You're taking on the roles from that, you know, your prior family. And, you know, but yet part of that is just so much of a systems dynamic that when we're in that system, we operate in that role. And like you're saying, I think that's part of the growth that needs to occur is to be able to say, no, I don't always have to accept that same role. Now, am I gonna operate within my family in a certain way? Yeah, likely so, but it doesn't mean that I have to abandon my spouse for the sake of, you know, my older sibling and, you know, my parents.
Yeah.
I can still say, okay, how do we, you know, how do we remain our unit while still being within this family dynamic in such a way that, because I think it can be very difficult when couples aren't able to do that, you know, and it leads to that kind of dread.
Yeah. Yep.
That can come with the holidays and spending time with family. It's like, I don't even want to go there, you know, because one of us and, you know, me or my spouse, you know, becomes different.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of awkward and it leads to the conflict. And I thought we were going to do it this way, you know, and it's like, oh, shucks, I did it again. You know, if we're willing to admit that, if we're not, then it just makes it more difficult. No, I didn't, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you always get this way when we come, you know, when we, you know, and it just, And I think that's the part of the it's just a makes an awkward dynamic at times, you know, around the holidays. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, is like just how much. So we're talking, you know, kind of a lot about some of the difficult parts. But of course, you know, almost everybody has this nostalgic idea of entering the home. You know, fireplace is crackling.
There's,
you know, presents.
What is Christmas?
Yeah. Like catching up with the family, hugging everybody.
Yep.
So there is this comfort, right? That comes with coming back to that familiar.
Yep.
The challenge comes in the extended, you know, time where, okay, now that we've all settled in and caught up, now everyone get to your places.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that we can resume as we all understand this thing to be, you know, and I think that's where the struggles start to come in. And you hate to, like you said, you get, you know, it can quickly become something where you dread the holidays, which is just so sad because there is so much, you know.
Opportunity?
Sure. Sure. There is opportunity.
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying there's also a lot of just comfort in, you know, coming back to familiar faces and catching
being
up.
Together.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity, yes.
Yeah.
But it can be a great opportunity to embrace who everybody has become.
Yeah.
But it's not natural for that to happen.
Yep.
Right?
No.
It's more natural to kind of go, okay, now that I know who you quote unquote are, get back to your spot of who I know you who you actually are, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of has that feel to it, I think, a lot of times in a lot of families.
And I think that feeling can come and go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in that time beforehand, you know, there can be that dread. But then once we go through the door, it's good to see everyone, you know, and then you're still processing the changes that you see automatically. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, mom and dad are this now. And it seems, you know, they're a little slower or they're, you know, part of that aging process, you know, and yet it can kind of take you in that direction to say, okay, maybe I need to, you know, offer a little more assistance or do, you know, some other things, not in a codependent manner, but just in a way that says, okay, how can I be of help, you know, and what things can I do while I'm here that would be helpful, maybe even long term, you know, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, that becomes an opportunity and to be able to, you know, just offset some of that load, you know, that they carry, you know, or, you know, even helping out where we can, you know, with Linda while we're there, you know, doing some projects or, you know, just little things that make their lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is an opportunity. And, you know, there's a blessing that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think here again, I think it's a change in the dynamic. It's like when we're kids, you know, I think it can be a lot about, you know, the presence and, you know, that tree, if you will, and all the presents around the tree, you know, and what that, and the lights.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there is that change. And, I, you know, I'll even see it in our adult kids, you know, it's like, yeah, now it's about being able, they were able to sit down with, you know, my parents and just play cards one evening, you know, and just after, you know, some of my other relatives had left, you know, and that was just a wonderful gift to me to be able to see my kids having that one-on-one time with their grandparents in such a way that it was just, they were just having fun mm-hmm. together. And it was like, you know, my parents just became younger in that moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was like they were just laughing and having fun and mm-hmm. just enjoying, you know, their grandkids. And, you know, that had its own blessing in it as well. Yeah. And we did, you know, there was the, you know, the one gift that everybody brought and you could, what is it, where you can steal it?
Yeah, Dirty Santa. That's what we call it.
Is that what you call it? I think you call it White Elephant.
Well,
or
that's a white pink elephant. So we'll
it's a pink elephant or no, either way.
No, White Elephant, but Dirty Santa is where you can steal.
Okay. Yeah, we could. I'm not going with Dirty. I'm not sure. I know our family had a different name. Okay, no,
it was probably White Elephant.
It could have been. It could have. But either way, where you're able to steal, but you could only steal it three times. Is that?
Well, I think it's.
See, everybody has their limits.
But usually there's.
So yeah, and to watch, you know, my parents, you know, kind of interact and you know get excited about a gift and yet get disappointed when it's pulled away, you know, that kind of thing. But you know,
that's fun. That's a great game.
It is. It is. It is. And you know, and it allows that opportunity to say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you, you know, and I contributed this and this is a part of, you know, how I see, you know, my family and, you know, there can still be a personal dynamic to it, you know, when you think of other people and, oh yeah, that person really likes those peanut covered M&Ms, you know, and it's going to be fun to throw this into the mix and see what happens, you know, that kind of thing.
So the way you guys did it, did you basically pick a name and get?
Nope.
It was just, you brought something.
Everybody brought something.
Middle, right?
Every person is responsible for, you know, a gift. And
Because I've seen it done both ways.
Yeah.
And you still do the same thing.
I got
you. You go around, people can steal, but it's like, you did get this one for them, but you knew.
And it's fun, you know, when you think about the age differences, you know, young kids to, you know, my parents and so forth.
So do you do it with the young kids then too?
You're asking me to remember. Yes, the young kids are there. You know, my parents will do small gifts for the young kids, but you know, for the most part, we, you know, it's boxes of oranges and, you know, and trail mix and, you know, my mom or dad may make some Gugelhopf, you know, German, you know, nut bread type stuff, you know, so it's that kind of thing, you know, that you can, you know, peanut brittle that my dad made some peanut brittle, you know, those are the things I remember. We took a box of oranges. So, you know, that's good for the little kids and stuff like that and families. And so, it just makes it fun. There's quite often a variety, no doubt.
It's fun.
Yeah. How about you? I'm sorry. I guess since we've talked about, you know, the difficulty, what we wrestle with and, you know, and the opportunities, wrestlings between you and Megan and the opportunities. Cause I think I'm not asking you but I think, you know, it helps to be able to share some of these wrestlings. Cause I think it's common. You know?
Yeah, I think in our dynamic, I guess the thing that I was sort of referencing earlier is that growing up, I was the youngest. I mean, it was just me and my sister. So
Holly.
Yes, Holly. Exactly. There's no mistletoe.
Exactly. I will remember her name at Christmas, no doubt.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. Yes. But yeah, so it's because we were so close in age and there's just two of us, the younger, older thing was a little bit different than maybe normal. I don't know, but...
How so?
Well, I don't feel like a... I don't know, like a lot of those younger, older mm-hmm. dynamics. I feel like I have some of the older and some of the younger ones.
Oh, wow. You know, okay.
In terms of things. Doesn't matter. But in growing up, I definitely was the youngest and that, you know... But I don't remember being treated like the way we treat my son, who's the youngest.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of gets out of doing a lot of stuff.
Okay.
It wasn't that way. It was basically everything was kind of split between me sure. and my sister, obviously. You know, we were only 13 months apart. So,
okay, yeah.
You know, it's not like I was the baby of the family. But the point is, and when it comes to roles, you know, I definitely was the youngest. Of the whole family,
sure.
the four of us, right?
Sure.
And so for the longest time, it was natural to kind of fall into that role of being the youngest and kind of just going with the flow and kind of just, I don't know, almost being lazy, like, mm. you know. And as I've gotten older, recognizing, like, you know, that I need to contribute, obviously, mm. but also... again, with the thing with Megan is just her seeing me be change and grow and become, you know, the kind of husband and dad that I need to be. And then to kind of settle back into that, those mm. roles is just, it's not acceptable, you know? Sure. And not only that, it ends up leaving her kind of exposed. This is the way she feels, mm. you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. she's not, doesn't quite feel like I'm the same ally, you know, sure. kind of like what you were describing earlier. Where you kind of slide back into the roles, but maybe the spouse who didn't grow up in that is mm-hmm. now kind of out on the edge, you know?
Yeah.
And so that dynamic has happened many times in the past, and, you know, it's still, I wouldn't say it's one we struggle with anymore. I think by this time, by this mm-hmm. point, we're more cohesive than sure. that family. So mm-hmm. I'm more likely to be kind of on her side. But the struggle then becomes... Okay, now I see it how you see it, and now I have mm. to work through this, where it's much easier to just kind of slide over there and
yes.
not see what, you know, and like mm-hmm. not have to address the
pain points. To be comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's probably the best word to use, actually, is to say it's less comfortable now because mm-hmm. now I have to be more, right?
Sure.
And in a good way, it's important, but I think that's where... It becomes a little challenging and it's mm. not quite as relaxing as you'd like it to be or whatever. It's just because you're having to be, not as comfortable.
Right? Okay.
And I think we talked about differentiated. Like that takes work. Like you said that even that balance that takes work. All of these things they take intentional effort, and without that intentional effort is when you kind of slide back in.
Sure.
And that intentional effort can be fatiguing, right?
Yeah.
To just be kind of always looking and always paying attention and always trying to be on your best behavior and always trying to not do the thing you would do unless it's the right thing. And be like, oh, is it right? Yeah, it's fine. it can be very fatiguing, I think. But also, like I said, it is, there's also that. Kind of nostalgic, beautiful, kind of come together, mm-hmm. where it's just so nice to see everyone. It's nice to catch up, and it's nice to for everyone have an opportunity to catch up, see my kids, you know, sure. kind of showing off different things that they've done or in our house or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a lot to say. I don't know what, but
but part of that, as I'm hearing it, it's like. You have to have different conversations in that process.
Yeah.
Because as you initially alluded to, you know, differentiation and that ability to build boundaries, you know, we have to establish new boundaries sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that can be the uncomfortable part,
right.
opposed to the comfortable part. It's like, no, things have to be redefined and we're going to have, you know, some difficult conversations mm-hmm. or, you know, and I think that's part of that healthy process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the older I get, the more I recognize to just change in those circumstances and not have those healthy conversations is produces other unhealthy dynamics. So you're now not meeting the expectations of your those family members or whatever, and so now there's some schism there.
Sure.
Because I'm changing, but I'm becoming differentiated. I'm not allowing you to put me in those roles, or I'm not allowing myself to slide into those roles. But it's like, but you're different, and you're not the same. You know, like, are you cranky? Are you whatever? Yes. I don't know what it, right? All these various things, and I recognize that sometimes, or almost every time, change requires those conversations.
Sure.
To be able to say, hey, it used to be this way, now it's this way.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to slide into that comfort zone at the expense of these things, you know?
Yeah.
And so those conversations, like you said, again, can be uncomfortable. They can be fatiguing. They can be, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to have them. And I think if you have, you know, kind of difficult family dynamics, partly because you're trying to stay differentiated, part of what might make that easier, hopefully in future years, is having some healthy conversations in love to say,
sure,
hey, I want to be this way now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in my life outside of this environment, I'm getting there. Like, I'm different. And I am this way. But when I come here, there's this expectation that I put on myself that I kind of fall into these roles, and I'm not comfortable in that role anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know who you have to have those conversations with. It might have to be everybody. I don't know.
But sure.
As uncomfortable as that is, there's a greater chance of, you know, the next season being, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think you bring up a great point, because I think at times we can put a lot of pressure on the holiday to, you know, reconnect. And yet it can go south because we haven't necessarily made an intentional opportunity to kind of stay connected throughout the year, you know? And I think part of that being able to stay connected is, I desire to know, and therefore I do know you, you know, I know what's going on with you throughout the year as we've stayed connected. So therefore, when we're able to come back together, it's not like, oh, you're so different, you know, because we've had conversations before. I understand where you are politically, even, you know, some of those dynamics that are difficult or can create, you know, disagreements between family members. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going in knowing where, you know, my parents, my brother, you know, other nieces, nephews, you know, where they stand politically and so forth, because we've even had those conversations prior to. You know, or, you know, what's going on in their life, to where it's like, okay, that's going to be a part of our conversation, you know, coming into this holiday. And I think it's, you know, it's tough if you're in a family where it's like, we don't necessarily maintain a connectedness, and yet we want to get together in the holiday, get everybody together in the holidays. It can be tough.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have to be intentional, but I think it's most helpful, you know, when we're able to be intentional about really staying connected. And I think that can add to that desire to be together around the holiday. And it minimizes what can be dread for some families. It's like, you know, I don't really like that person. Why would I want to go spend Christmas with that person? But yet if I've maintained a relationship, and I've, you know, and that, you know, it's been reciprocal for the most part, I'm caring about them, they're caring about me, you know, then it's like, I look forward to, you know, being able to have some face-to-face time. And that's my perspective, you know, because it's like, you know, I just don't see, I mean, we see our families not often, you know, but routinely, I'll say. And, you know, so when we're able to give those hugs and join together, it's good in that dynamic, because there's still a connectedness, you know, of being able to touch base on a, you know, a routine basis, I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great point. And I think when and where you can embrace those opportunities, it's a healthy thing to do. Because,
yeah,
like me and my sister, we didn't grow up particularly close, which is ironic because we were, again, close in age and kind of shared all responsibilities. And but for some reason, we just never quite had a bond, you know? It was just kind of like, you know, she did her thing, I did my thing, and occasionally they were in the same place, but it's, I don't know, we just didn't really have a bond. And it stayed that way pretty much through our adult years until, I want to say, a few years ago. And I don't remember, it might have been her initiated, I can't remember who initiated, but we just started having conversations about why don't we have this bond and what can we do to to rectify this? You know, how can we? And we had to work through some, like, baggage from years of just not really having a connection and kind of perception issues from both sides of things. And like, it took a little bit of effort, but we both wanted to do the effort and we wanted the result of a bond and a closer relationship between our two families.
Because, sure.
I mean, our families are, have always gotten along really well. And even when her and my brother-in-law, Phil, like her brother-in-law, Phil, was one of my best friends in high school. Wow. Few years older than me, he was kind of like a mentor slash friend of mine, and then I was his best man in our their wedding.
Oh, nice!
And then when me and Megan got married, he was my best man.
Oh, cool!
So you know, when they were engaged and everything, I hung out with them. But it was Phil, you know.
Sure.
My brother-in-law, and then when they got married, like I would go over there, and then me and Megan, we would hang out at their house,
sure,
and just have a good time. So we always had a good relationship, and it was just me and Holly, for some reason, my sister, who didn't quite have that bond. But Megan and Holly get along really well. Me and Phil really well. And then as our kids started being born, you know, Noelle was the oldest, and so she was there several years before, and so she was kind of our, you know, our niece. She kind of got the baby thing. And then Mia and Regan were both born within 7 days, I want to say. They started having kids, we started having kids, and they kind of aligned in a lot of ways age-wise. And so the connection just continued to grow.
Sure.
But again, it was just me and Holly were kind of missing that connection.
Hmm.
So we were like, we want to continue to build this bond with our families, but we want it to be more regular and more intentional. And part of that, you know, is going to be healing some of these wounds and or working to build that relationship that we never truly tried to build.
Sure.
You know? And so that's been awesome. Just as we've grown closer and we've had a really good conversation. It's to the point where she and I will call each other sometimes and talk about stuff. It's like, to me, that was not part of the equation ever.
Yeah.
That was never going to be a thing.
Sure.
And yet now it is.
Cool.
You know? And where, you know, other families, it's like, you don't call your sister, like, or, you know, whatever. And, so, yeah, it's been cool to have that. And so I guess I say all that to say, if you have relationships in your family that you believe are worth the effort and are additive to your life or should be additive, I think it's worth working on. But I also think there are times to say it's okay to not engage this person throughout the year and just let the holidays be what they're going to be.
Sure.
Because not every relationship is going to be additive. There's going to be some unhealthy dynamics that aren't worth hashing out, maybe. And also, you only have so many connection spots, right?
I hear you.
You know, if
receptors.
Use the Lego, you know, I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
Illustration. Some of us are 8-piece Lego. Some of us are, you know, whatever, those big flats, right? You just stick every, you know, they can connect with hundreds of people. Some of us are just the little one, right?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And so we all have our, we have a finite amount of connectors. And so you have to determine, if you're in a completely different geographic region trying to build roots in that region, it makes sense that your connectors start to fill up in that region and there's fewer left for, you know, second cousin Eddie.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Where maybe growing up you were close, but now it's like, not really, and I haven't talked to him, and I don't know. So I guess there's some healthy, you know, intentional decisions that need to happen in your family relationships, and even recognizing as people grow and change and morph, maybe who they're changing and growing into isn't necessarily someone you want to align your life with. Is that bad? I don't think so. I think it's naturally part of growth and change and kind of that, yeah, that natural family systems where you start to move the centrality of your family into kind of a different core, you know?
Yeah. And I think in some cases, even that, you bring up a good point in that, you know, as far as, you know, the ability to maintain contact with everybody. I think there are also people who I may not have been in contact with for years that I can fall right back into that same, you know, routine. You know, it's like I have, you know, the college friend Dean. I haven't talked with him in years, you know, but at the same time, you know, there's no doubt in my mind it's, I can catch my brothers that we don't always talk, but you know, my brother's another one. It's like, we can, it's like, yeah, we can fall right back in and you know, we don't have to maintain that all the time, but yet there's always an opportunity to be able to catch up real quick and just be, you know, glad to have that time together, you know? And I think of those people, you know, that come to mind that are just, I may not have talked with them. Oh, there's a, I'm just thinking of a skit that came to mind. I forget. I think it was, who's the show with Tim Allen that he did later?
Tim the Toolman?
After that. Was it Last Man Standing?
I actually don't know.
Okay. But he talks about, you know, difference between friends for him and friends for his wife, you know, and that kind of thing comes to mind. How, you know, sometimes there's friends that you have that you haven't had to have talked with for years, but yet, you know, they're your friend, you know? So that's part of a skit, but part of a show, but that just came to mind.
And those types of people, I imagine, hold their expectations of you loosely.
Oh, sure.
And that's why it's easy to catch up. Right. It's easy to kind of fall back in and have a good catch up conversation. Is they're not expecting you to fall into that old role there.
Sure. They're happy for
there's
any.
There's something about your core that they can, that they bond with.
Sure.
That doesn't need the outer stuff to stay the same.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I do think there's something about, you know, certain people where there's just a core bonding that that can occur there.
No, it makes sense. And I would say in a lot of cases, those people aren't always necessarily going to be family members.
Right. Yeah. No, because I think family members, the way, kind of the outer version of you fits into this mold.
Sure.
And when that changes, the mold, it breaks, right? Like, so now it's like, well, who's going to play that role?
Sure.
You know, that it messes up the mold. So I definitely think you're right in that.
And I think that's been, you know, when I mentioned my brother, I think that's been a difference too. You know, when kind of like with your sister, when that mold of who I was, you know, as a younger sibling kind of broke, you know, then our relationship was able to be developed, you know, from that.
Yeah. And that's kudos to him for being able to say, you know, I don't need to stuff him into that younger brother role. Sure. Right?
So Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, because I think that can be, it can be hard on all sides, right?
Sure,
You maybe would want, you know, that person in your life to stay where they were because that represented a certain amount of comfort or stability. And when they shift, it's like, no, get back over there so I can feel stable again or whatever. I think there's some of that can go on too. And again, can happen without that when you're not doing the intentional thing, right? So in other words, when you slide back into ruts, you're not trying to force your sibling back into their roles. You just do it because you're in the rut.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where some intentionality, because we're talking about from our, you know, central worldview being me.
Yeah.
So how everyone reacts to me, but the reality is that's not how life works.
Sure.
Right? And so your sister, your brother, like they have a central universe of them, and you're, you know, how you engage with them matters too. And there's a very good chance that all these things we're talking about, like, you're the bad guy, right? I'm the bad guy.
I gotcha.
I'm trying to shove them back into that role that I think they belong in. And again, maybe because I'm in an unhealthy place because I ran out.
I gotcha.
I ran out of the ability to be the right kind of Justin. And now I'm kind of falling into my ruts of, being whatever it is, and now I'm trying to shove you back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's important to think about this from both angles there to recognize that, you know, your parents too, like, there's some comfort in their family coming together and kind of fitting into this mold, and there's this comfort and stability, and when that mold breaks, that can represent, that can be a painful moment for parents to see that what they built is no longer a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really good, but it might not feel that way.
Sure.
Right?
Different.
It might feel like
wrong.
What they worked for is gone.
Sure.
When the reality is it's not gone, it's just changed shape.
Sure. In
ideally good ways. You know?
Yeah. That potential is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I can see... Let's say the potential's there, or let's say things change for the worse in some cases. Well, you can't shove it back into, you know, can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So how are you going to deal with the mess on the counter?
Yeah.
Well, you got to figure out how to be a new kind of mom or dad in this situation, right?
Yeah.
That can accept, that can love, that can embrace.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there yet. So.
That will be that'll be another podcast.
Adults.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to have some parents of adults, you know, adults with kids.
There you
we'll
go.
Say that.
There you go.
Have them tell us how to do it.
There you go. Well, Justin, I'm glad.